while I'm still in my trial is the fact that God is in there with me. Do you know that Jesus spoke to the fire long before they got there? He said, fire, you can still be fire, but you can't burn the ones I love. He said, fire, you can still be fire. By the way, burn those chains off of them. Fire, you can still be fire. By the way, burn those ropes off of them. Fire, you can still.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my
soul. Feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla. And in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
I want to call your attention to a well-known and probably a favorite Christian personality in the Word of God. He's probably one of your favorites. You probably call his name out more than Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you probably know him better than Moses and Joshua and many of the other greats. And it's found in Judges chapter 3, verse 31. Judges chapter 3, verse 31. What's interesting and unique about this verse is all that we really know about this character is found in this one verse of Scripture. God thought it well to include him in the Holy Writ because of what he did on behalf of God and Israel. And if you've got it, say amen. All right, I want you to begin reading now. Amen. You may be seated. And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anah, which slew of the Philistines 600 men, and he also delivered Israel. Now, I told you he was probably one of your favorite and familiar Bible personalities, but I knew that you didn't know him. This is probably the first time you ever heard of him. Amen. I know as I read this, as I hear your response, that you didn't know Shamgar and you didn't know his daddy either. Because it says, the son of Anah. You're like wondering, who is he and who is his daddy? But more than that, there are some principles that we can take from Shamgar in this one verse of scripture. God shows us in this one verse of scripture how he has packed and loaded it with principles for us to practice that we might profit from in our sojourn here on planet Earth. As Christians, excuse me, we ought to desire to want to know how to function and flow in the things of God, how to do the things that pleases God, how to find ourselves on the side of God in any situation. And Shamgar shows us in this one verse his dedication and his commitment to God and to what God has given him and how he operated in that. And it will demonstrate to us, will share with us, it will show to us how every individual can do the same thing as Shamgar did in our own lives if we would simply use the principles found in this word. Now, I know there are some of you who are dealing with certain issues in life, and you've expected by this time in life you would be successful and you would have found your place and your niche in life and things would be better than they are, and you're blaming everybody and everything for them not being so. But I hope that the light of this scripture will give illumination more than heat. Y'all will catch that on your way home. Because light gives both light, illumination, and it also gives heat. And what I've discovered, if folk are most times not enlightened, they're usually hot and bothered when it's all revealed. So I hope that God will do more enlightening you than heating you up, because you've heard the truth this morning. One of the things, again, that we need to look at is the fact that Shamgar is the third judge in Israel. And before Shamgar, Ehud, as we would pronounce it in English, but it is Ehud in the Hebrew tongue, was a judge for him, and he helped to destroy the Moabites and give Israel 80 years of peace, 40 years of peace. And then Shamgar comes on the scene after him. There's only one other place in the whole Bible where Shamgar's name is mentioned, and it's in the same book, in the 5th chapter and the 6th verse. But it really speaks to the social, political, military culture of that juncture in human history. It calls his name and his time, but it doesn't say anything additionally about Shamgar. All that we know about him is found in this third chapter and the 31st verse. One of the things that's most interesting is that there are three things that I want to share that all of us can participate in if we hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us. If we started at the fifth chapter and the sixth verse, which explained the situation, let me just kind of put it all into focus for us. The Philistines had invaded a southwest portion of Israel, and they had overtaken the main highways and byways whereby the Jews and the Israelites could not pass on the main highways and byways. They had to go through the backfields and cross over neighbors' property, because if they had come, not only would the Philistine army do them danger and hurt and harm, but there were some robbers and some bandits who had also come with them, who would seek to rob them and many times hurt them and even kill them for their possessions. And so that was a curfew, if you will, so that they could not pass on the main highways and byways. And so what happened was the Israelites chose to use the back streets and the back roads and use their neighbors' land to cross to get where they needed to go. But sooner or later, the Philistines started to leave the main highways and byways and started entering into people's personal property. And they started looting, and they started tearing down, and they started misusing the people of Israel on the holy ground that God had given to the children of Israel. And yet these were invaders. These were alien forces who had come to set up residence and domicile on Christian property. And there were some who were unable, because during that time they were not allowed to have weaponry of that time. And so they were pretty much defenseless. And as they continued to take more and more territory and to come in at their own will to do harm to the Israelites, they made the mistake one day of coming on Shamgar's farm. And Shamgar had a righteous indignation to rise up in his spirit about alien forces coming on holy ground that was meant for the children of Israel. And Shamgar was offended by that and affected by that, so much so that he knew that if nobody else would defend their property, and if nobody else would stand up for the holy place that God had given to them, Shamgar was going to do that. So the first thing I want you to see is that, and if you're writing notes, and I hope that you are, is that Shamgar started where he was. Somebody say he started where he was. Now, why is starting where he was so important to these principles? Because one of the things that we'll know quickly is that it is a wise thing to do to start where you are, because if you live any real length of time, you will discover it's very difficult to start where you are not. In other words, if you want to make the major leagues, you got to start in the minor leagues. You got to start where you are. In other words, if you want to be something and develop into that, you're going to have to learn that you've got to begin where you are. When Mr. Williams took his two daughters, Serena and Venus, and wanted to teach them tennis, he didn't wait till they were young teenagers or young ladies. He started when they were little girls, right where they were. He was not in fancy country clubs. He used the city parks and then the place where they had a little tennis court and bought some little rackets and balls and started him out teaching them what he could and kept on. But he started where he was. The same thing with Tiger Woods' father. He didn't wait till Tiger Woods became a young man to teach him golf. Tiger Woods could barely walk. And because his father enjoyed the game and his son, he wanted to teach it to him. He got him some golf clubs and took him with him every time he went and trained him from a child, started him right where he was. He never played all of the great golf courses of the world first. He started right there in his own community. What am I saying? I'm saying every person that you know who reached fame and fortune in that day didn't start where they ended up at. They started where they were. And that's important for you to realize, because so many of you are missing God, waiting on the opportunity for your big chance to come, when you're not doing anything with what you got right now where you are. And so if you want God to really bless you, the first thing is he started where he was on his private property. Somebody say private property. It was not the public domain. He was not some prestigious scholar scaling the heights of intellectuality. He was not some political potentate sitting at the table of power politically. He was not some major general who was a strategic mind in battle. He was just an ordinary farmer on his own land. And they invaded his property. Let me tell you, this verse is also filled with a lot of typology. And just to help you to understand why he was so indignant about this point, you can go all the way back to the book of Genesis when God himself created Adam and Eve. And he gave man a mind to think, gave him great intellect, and made him to have dominion over everything God created, beast of the fields, the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and told him to name him. So it is clear by his intellect and the responsibility God gave him, he gave man great intellect. I believe you will agree with that. But then he saw that man was lonely. And so he put man to sleep, took a rib out him, and made woman. When man woke up, he saw her. He named her Eve. Man named her as well. But God made woman because he wanted man to explore the expansions of his emotions and to love God with all of his heart and to love the woman as himself. And then thirdly, God put a tree of prohibition in the middle of the garden and gave man a choice and told man not to eat from this tree. He could eat of every tree in the garden, but not that tree in the middle of the garden, because he wanted to test man's free will as a free moral agent to see whether he would obey God or do what his flesh told him to do. Now, everything was well in the garden until an alien species showed up. And the alien species, known as the serpent, beguiled Eve, because what he wanted to do was to separate and to do what Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And from the very instance he entered into the Garden of Eden, he commenced his plan. He told Eve, you know, that wasn't quite true what God said. If you eat of this tree, you will not surely die. What will happen is you will know more than God wanted you to know. And she ate of the fruit. And listen, she then gave it to Adam. And Adam, who knew the command that was made directly to him, accepted the influence of his wife from the influence of the alien force who had occupied paradise. And when he messed up, paradise lost, found, became paradise lost. And from that time, all through history, every time trouble showed up, it was because of an alien force who had come in and messed with holy ground. And I've got news for you. Some of you today got alien forces on the inside of you, and you're accepting it like it's all right, when your righteous indignation ought to rise up in you and say, this is holy ground. This is the temple of the Most High God. I will not allow these alien influences to live inside of me. I wish I had a witness. It's a typology here. And you're going to discover that Shamgar didn't want no enemy crossing his land, less known, setting up domicile on his land. So he did something about it. He started right on his own farm, on his own private property. I've got news for you. If you're going to be worth anything, you need to start at home. You need to start in the confines of your own before you try and make it public and world renowned. Second thing I want to tell you about Shamgar was he not only started where he was, he used what he had. And the word said he had an ox goad. You know what an ox goad is, don't you? Well, I'm glad you asked the question then. An ox goad, as I researched, was a long, thick stick about 6 inches in diameter at the one end that had a shovel or spade-like end that was used to knock the clay-like mud off of the farming equipment to be able to make sure that the plow shed, when it hit that clay-like dirt that was hard to remove, it would take like that shovel-like end and remove that clay-like mud off it so that it could more easily penetrate and open up the ground. On the other end of that 8-foot pole was a very sharp end like a spear, and he would use that end to encourage the ox when the ox wanted to stand still or go in the wrong way. He would take that ox goad and just encourage him. And the ox would then feel that inspiration and begin to move in the way that the master wanted him to move. And you know, every now and then, we need a little ox goading going on with us because we disobey God. We sit down, become complacent, don't want to do, and God has to use certain measures to move us or to bring us back on straight street when we have gone off into erroring ways. Don't sit there and act like he ain't never had to do it to you. And you can always feel the pain of that ox goad getting your attention. Get right now. Go straight now. And so he used this ox goad. Now, he didn't have any military weaponry. That's all he had. But he used what he had. Moses had a rod, but he used it. Joseph had a dream, but he used it. Rahab, a harlot, had a rope, but she used it. Noah had one message he preached for 120 years. It's going to rain. But he used it. Samson had the jawbone of an ass and slew 1,000 men. But he used it. The widow, had 2 mites. But she used it. The lad with the 2 small fish and 5 loaves of bread. Yeah, that's all he had, but he used it. John the Baptist was a voice crying in the wilderness. He was not in the major city of Jerusalem. He didn't have the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. He was out in the wilderness with only a voice, but he used it. And the people from the city came to the country to hear the voice that he used. That's all he had, but he used it. Dorcas had a needle. I know Bible readers will only know these characters I'm talking about, but she used it. Barnabas had a little piece of land on the outside of, are y'all gonna pray with me here? But he used it, and many, many, many more. Listen, what made them exceptional, what made them extraordinary is not what they had to use, but the heart they had to use it. Did you hear what I just said? It wasn't so much what was in their hand as much as what was in their hearts. And when they used it the way God wanted them to use it, they blessed others as well as themselves. Not everybody is going to be great and famous about what they do. Look at Shamgar. Ever since you've had your Bible, he's been right there in Judges chapter 3, verse 31. Hidden right between Joshua on the one hand and Samson on the other hand, and right there in the middle was Shamgar. And some of you have never heard of him. I want to tell you right now, that's the way it's going to be in heaven. There are going to be some names and neighbors that you thought would be there who won't make the grade. And there are some that you'll be excited to see there that you didn't think would make it. And some of them will be relatively unknown, humble servants who started where they were and used what they had. And God received the glory, and they received the good. Now listen to this. I got one more thing I want to share with you about Shamgar that this verse reveals to us. Not only did he start where he was, not only did he use what he had, but the third thing I want you to note about Shamgar is he did what he could. He did what he could. Well, what did he do? Well, the scripture said he slew 600 men of the Philistines.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0000. 877-225-0577. That's